Good morning. Welcome to Humanity Meets Business, Business Therapy with Christine Salvo. So excited to announce my guest tonight. He's an international speaker, author, and executive coach. Larry Olson has years of experience working with Fortune 50 companies, championship teams, and entrepreneurs on establishing their vision and sense of purpose. Larry understands that perception is truth, and his innate ability to customize his approach for each client's success truly sets him apart. Every person is different, and Larry's approach has proven that success happens when we team up with someone who listens, discovers what makes us unique, and shows us how to unleash our own greatness. Larry is passionate about providing individuals and teams quick, actionable guidance on how to break ingrained, ineffective habits that they did not even know were holding them back. His company, Aperno's approach to professional development, balances common sense, practical neuroscience, and personal accountability, enabling clients to gain insights and perspectives to live, work, and engage with more success. In addition to working with companies, athletes, and entrepreneurs, Larry is a sought-after speaker, podcast host, and the author of Get a Vision and Live It, which provides insight into how to easily adjust our thinking to get the results we want. So, woo, that was a mouthful. And Larry, you've had quite the career, which I just cannot wait to hear about. So I don't even know where to start. You know, you have kind of this lifetime of obviously helping, of being a teacher and a leader. What got you started? You know, not everyone kind of falls or stumbles into that path, or even does it intentionally.
Well, I give credit to my sister. When I was just barely able to walk, I was pushing her in the stroller. And, you know, yip, yip, yo, so what, who cares? Well, she was 3 years older than I was. And it was an anomaly. And my parents had, I would say, possibly been in denial that something was wrong. So they went and had testing done, and they labeled her. At the time, the term was mentally retarded. And we've certainly got more sophisticated and use much more gracious terms now when we have individuals that aren't able to perform cognitively at a full level. And what happened, it just created a tremendous curiosity as to why people, when they don't understand something, have a tendency to make faults. So I got in a lot of fights when I was growing up to defend her. And, you know, she was just a sweetheart. She was an idiot savant. She could remember every phone number and, you know, every date, birth date, and you name it. But socially, just wasn't caught up. And so it started a lifelong quest of my own to find out just what role does our brain play in our performance. And that's when I evolved into driven neurology, which is basically being able to see yourself improve right in front of yourself. And most people, they have a tendency to set goals and put all of this growth into the future with dates and times, and in memorial, that's how we've all been brought up relative to how to accomplish things. But when you learn how the brain operates and how it processes and the science behind it, it's all backwards, because it puts us into a waiting mode, and life is not to be waited on. So, you know, that kind of answers in a kind of roundabout way how I got involved in this field. And probably a little over 40 some years, I've been studying the brain and neurology, and started my own company in 27 years ago. Have learned a lot along the way, and have found what I've learned the most is how much we don't know about what we're capable of. And I think probably one of the most powerful statements is people only know what they know and can only operate on that information until they receive new information and actually take a new perspective on things. When we developed the company, we came up with a term called Apernio, and it's two terms, and we created a hybrid. So basically we could get it .com. The aperture of a camera is how the image gets in. It's how we see the world. And neo in Latin is for new. So Apernio stands for new perspective. And it's basically, Christine, how to look at the same differently. It really, when we're able to change our perspective on a dime, the results that we receive are generally not what we expected. So we prepare in advance to ask ourselves, what would be a better version of me that I would like to be living? And there's a series of questions we can ask ourselves to begin to recognize that all the brain needs is direction and end result. Otherwise, it'll continue to react on everything we've learned up to this point in time. As your listeners are listening, they're attempting to understand what I'm sharing based on their experiences, not mine, based on their definitions of the words that I'm using, not my own. And so there is not much clarity until we become not only great listeners, but great questioners to find out exactly what people mean by what they're saying. And basically, I've myself and my partner, which is my wife, who is the COO of our company, she came in with a speech pathology background, speech language pathology background, and was dealing with head injury victims who had had cognitive impairment and were, she was helping them get back to being able to function in some sense of normality. And that is kind of how we met along the way and had a real merger of not only spirits, but backgrounds, and decided that, you know, we'd start a company. And we've been rolling ever since. Wow. And here I am having the benefit of talking with you.
That is really interesting. I love that. And even how your story began, I get that. So a lot of adversity, a lot of, like you said before, kind of, you know, having to be defensive, having to not only be a big brother to your sister and learn the things that she needed, right, that maybe she couldn't verbalize, or maybe the world quite didn't understand at that time, but then also defending her against the people that wanted to kind of be, you know, so learning both sides of that, which is speaking a language with someone that has maybe a more difficult time, and also defending and being an advocate. So I can see how that would come very natural to you, Larry.
And Thank you. I had to really grow up and look back at it to kind of put the pieces together, if you will, as most of us do, because, you know, it doesn't really make sense to us at the time. I had no idea I was on a quest. I was just doing what any family member would do, and that's defend our family. I mean, we can mess with our family, but we draw the line when other people are messing with our family.
Right?
Right.
As we should.
Yes.
So kind of just getting a little background there, I always like to ask and just get a feel, you know, because I truly believe that when you're in service, whether that's coaching or other platforms, when you feel the need to help people, mm-hmm. there's always a story there. You know, we always have something behind that. So, you know, our topic today is not one of us has the same fingerprint. And I even just love the name of it. So I'm just going to kind of hand it over to you and say, what are we talking about here?
Well, the reason I use that term, not one of us has the same fingerprint, is because we have been brought up to be more alike than different. How to fit in, how to get good grades, you know, how to get the job, what to say the right thing, how to get a date, how to advance from the third grade to the fourth. And so we get into this mindset of getting all of this information from the outside, trying to make these internal changes. And yet we're such a unique individual. Anthropologists, and it's a number that hasn't really quite been nailed down. But what they say is in the history of man, only around 80 billion people have stood upright. And right now we have a society with a little over 7 billion. And in all of those people, not one has our fingerprint or genetic blueprint. And so we came out of the womb unique. We have, you know, our own story to write. And when we begin to understand the miracle in being born to begin with, and this life that we're living is the gift, that is easier. It's almost you could win the lottery daily compared to the odds of being born. And yet a lot of people take it for granted. They never really think of life as a gift. Maybe there's a bumper sticker out there or some idiom that, you know, says today is the first day of the rest of your life. But those types of things don't change us. What really what we want to do is we want to learn not to change, because I heard a great statement that change is a chameleon turning from tan to green. We want to transform. And that's like a caterpillar emerging as a glorious butterfly. It's, we have so much darn potential. And I found that the people at the top of any field are using less than 10% of what they're capable of. But once we get to any point in our life where we think we've made some success, we've accomplished some things, there's a tendency to kind of ride on that a little bit. And it takes sometimes an event in our lives to kind of change that. And some of the events in my life were divorce, was loss of a child. There's job loss, losing friends. I mean, anything that occurs that kind of wakes us up, that pattern we've been operating from, those plays, if you will, may have served us up to this point in time, but are they serving us any longer? And as we all know, the COVID experience has caused a lot of self-reflection. And, you know, it's not, I don't think of it as a great resignation. I think of it as a great re-inspiration, where we really had a chance to ask ourselves, is this really what I want to do? And who am I anyway? And as we start to answer those questions, we begin to recognize that it's just pretty much wide open. I mean, you get into that concept, whatever a man can conceive, he can achieve. Man, woman, child, anybody who happens to be looking out of your eyes right now has all the power necessary to be able to accomplish anything they can set their mind to. And so one of the most important elements is all of us have tried things and haven't succeeded at everything, but how are we doing at sustainability? How are we doing when we start, you know, we can start the diet, do we sustain it? We can lose the weight, do we keep it off? Do we buy a gym membership only to make the gym profitable? Because only 20% of people show up, the rest of them don't want to give their membership up because then they feel like they've given up hope on working out any longer. And as I can go on and on and on, but the real change agent is, again, the circumstance we find ourselves in. And the transformation comes not from goal setting our way out of it, but envisioning a new reality. And the brain is amazing. Once we envision a new reality, we have a device in our brain that allows us to overcome any challenge and reach any goal that we set or vision. And it connects our spinal cord to the brain. And it's like a good executive secretary. It screens out all information except what we've determined is significant. You know, everybody kind of understands when they buy a new car, all of a sudden they see a whole bunch of them just like it. Or they go to work for a company and they hear about it, or they learn a new word and the next day or so they hear somebody else repeat it. Why weren't they paying attention to that before? And as we all begin to learn, it wasn't significant. And so the only thing that we get information from and the only movie we can watch is the one based on the experiences, the beliefs, the habits, the attitudes, and the expectations that we currently have. And when people try to change, they try to change their habit, they try to change their attitude, they try to change their belief or their expectation, and they're just spinning their wheels. Because what they really need to do is they need to take a look at what's my vision, what's the ultimate outcome that I'm really looking for. And when you learn how to own that, Christine, when you learn how that visualization is more than just saying I'm mindful, because I'm into mindfulness now, it's really all about, you know, yeah, you want that, but how bad do you want it? And that doesn't even do it justice. Can you own it? Can you be that person that weighs that amount now, even if it's 100 pounds less than what you weigh now? Can you actually be that? Because when you own it, it changes your next meal. It changes whether you work out or not. Everything changes because now you've created a new significance. And that's what really is the gist of all the research I've done in how the brain processes information and how we make decisions. And the average individual makes about 50,000 decisions in a 24-hour period of time.
Oh, and 95%, wow. Yeah, that's a big 95% number.
95% of them are from the past. stored in our subconscious. That's why they say that most people are wandering around unconscious, simply reacting to the situation based on how they've reacted before.
That's a big number. I usually like to say people are spending about 20,000 thoughts a day thinking about food. You know, you eat breakfast and then you're like, what's for lunch? And you eat lunch and you go, what's for snack? Right, and you eat snack and what's for dinner? And, you know,
it keeps us alive. So we're certain.
The animals that we are, we spend a lot of time, Allie, or it's just me. I don't know.
No, I love meals.
So a lot of our time is geared towards the filters of the past and thinking thoughts we've already thought, which, mm-hmm. you know, I'm a kind of a neuroscience geek too, which, you know, I like to think of it as grooves, right? So when we have a repetitive thought, we're going to have a deeper groove. And when hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, we all know the acronym HALT, we're going to usually go back to what we know instead of like what you're saying, Larry, which is that new thing, that thing we're doing instead. And that's what takes that conscious effort, right? So,
absolutely. Yeah, you got to unhook the amygdala. You know, the fight, flight, freeze, our reptilian brain, which is just an amazing thing, and allow our cerebral cortex, you know, with our frontal lobes to start to reason on perhaps a different reaction to this situation. And again, that is empty if that reaction is in alignment with the vision now that we've created. Otherwise, it's just change for change's sake. Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds like a good idea. Oh, you know, I'm going to buy that. Oh, yeah, maybe, you know, the 800 operators are standing by. I think I'll give them a call and put that weight belt on. So you wake up in the morning and your love handles are gone while you're eating your third piece of pizza. And it's not about pizza. It's about is what you're doing in alignment with who you are attempting to emerge at.
Right. Yeah, I love how you're connecting that to a vision. I mean, that really makes a lot of sense on why a lot of people don't actually succeed at their goals, because it's mm-hmm. the theory versus the application. And if you can't see the end result, you know, it's really kind of funny we're having this conversation, because my last client that just left, that was late for our podcast too, I'm having this talk with the dad and I'm working with this teenage girl. And I say, you know, it's that place where we want to quit that's so hard to hijack. And as parents and as teachers and as coaches and even personally, that's that place, that's that threshold. That you actually, that's where it comes in. That's where the personal trainer comes in. That's where the coach comes in. It's not on the parts where it's easy. It's in that part where you want to throw your hands up and say, this is getting hard and I quit. And I really kind of like to rephrase this of hard is level one. If it's easy, it's easy for a reason. It's not challenging you. Mm-hmm. And instead of thinking as hard as I need to give up, it's actually level one, because that feeling you get, you know, that last half mile that you run with someone screaming in your ear that you can do it, or those last three reps when you're, you know, slobbering all over yourself and, you know, veins are popping out. It's that feeling afterwards. And if we don't go past our personal thresholds, we never get that other feeling, which is euphoric. Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely. At least I think for me and most people that have experienced it, it's like, wow. And we look at the people around us and it's like, thanks for not letting me give up. And this can be school. This can be career. This can be a test. This can be a physical, this can be, you know, the final weigh-in after the big diet. But it's these threshold points. And I kind of think that that's what we're talking about here, Larry. And I'd love to hear your perspective on threshold and kind of getting past the pain.
You know, it's all about the why. You know, I think we all know Simon Sinek did great job on making everyone aware of the importance of why. And I think that what a lot of people have to understand is you don't get through the threshold without a strong why, without a strong reason, without a strong something greater than current reality. When vision is greater than current reality, vision will win out every single time. Otherwise, current reality, which is the situation you find yourself in right now, kind of engulfs you. And you don't get to have this the win, or you compromise and settle for less so you can get a little mini win. And you really need to, one of my philosophies is, if you're not having the time of your life right now, if I ask your listeners, are you having the time of your life right now? And they go, well, I'm listening to Larry and Christine. I mean, could I pick another situation? Those are the kind of lives that are once I and as soon as. And when you really begin to recognize the fact of what it means to fall in love with yourself for your strengths and your weaknesses, you begin to realize that this is your moment. And this is the time to have the time of your life, because it's the only time any of us live anyway, is right now, not in some other time, not when it's going to happen, not when our podcast is over and I'm off to doing something else. And if I'm having this podcast, thinking about what I'm going to do when the podcast is over, I'm not present. I'm not really finding out, you know, who's Christine? Because when you share after I have talked, it's wonderful. I mean, you have such a great grasp of elusive concepts. We have such a basic black and white understanding of how to grow. So set a goal and do whatever it takes to pull it off. And don't be weak. Don't be weak. No, don't be weak, whatever you do. And then people interpret that as I'm weak. You know, the brain does not follow directions. It follows the words. And I would give all that listeners the advice that stop talking to yourself about what you don't want and stop talking to others about what you don't want. You know, I don't want you late for one more meeting. You know, you told me that you were going to do that every single day. And so what do? We start to form an image, not only of ourselves or of the person that is sharing that information, not making us feel good about self. When the way the brain operates, and where you really build self-esteem by, as a leader in coaching or trying to improve someone's behavior, when you're confronting them with how they're falling short, you have to recognize, first off, what a miraculous human being you're dealing with to begin with. They got over 100 billion neurons. The dendritic connections can process over 30 trillion bits of information a second. It's not who you are that's holding you back. It's what you become. And what you become is all of this collective insight of all the experiences. So to get through the threshold is really when one asks themselves, why am I doing this anyway? And if they can't come up with a great reason, stop doing it, because you're probably doing it for someone else. And that someone else is never going to be satisfied. That someone else is always going to find a new opportunity and try to extend you. And it'll limit you, unfortunately, because it's your own story. You're the one writing it. And when you're able to say, I'm having the time of my life right now, it's not because you're involved in the greatest experience you've ever been in your life. It's because you've decided to bring the greatest version of you to the experience. And it changes everything. And so I would just make a challenge to myself and to anybody who's listening to take a moment and think about, are you having the time of your life now? What would you be doing differently in your thinking about this moment, not in changing the moment, not in changing the circumstance, but how would you be thinking differently that would allow you to have the time of your life? And it's always so fascinating that when you're stuck in traffic and your old reaction is, God, I hate this, I'm going to be late. Instead of saying, how could I be enjoying myself right now? Your brain does not follow words, it follows directions. That's kind of how I started with this. So here's a challenge. You don't believe me? Everybody, follow my words, not my directions. Whatever you do, don't you dare. I repeat, don't you dare. You'll be held back if you do. Don't you dare. Think about a white dog with black ears in a red doghouse. And people can't help it. When I say banana, you don't think of a bowling ball. So these words trigger these pictures that bring about emotion. And then the emotion causes us to take some form of action. And that's pretty much how we all live. So if we're only watching our movie and everybody else play bit roles in it, or our other co-stars, we're the star. We're in every single scene. We can't be in a room without ourselves being there. It better be pretty amazing Or why are you still living that movie? Mm-hmm. Change it. Change it simply by changing how you talk to yourself. Mm-hmm. So that was a drink out of a fire hose right there, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was great. You know, you have a really lovely way of taking very complex concepts and making it palatable, making it easy to digest.
Well, thank you.
And thank I actually you. Haven't heard anybody say it quite that way of the brain follows words, not directions. And that makes sense with my brain because I do not follow directions. I'm like, oh, good. My brain makes sense. It's like, but yes, that's so true. And how are we living our best lives? And I love that challenge that you proposed. So really kind of working on the thinking and the neurology and then making those actionable changes. But as you said before, and just making sure we're not losing the concept that you have to have the vision of where you're going.
Yes.
Right. That's a key point. And don't beat yourself up when you get off track. It's actually very natural and normal to do. It's a normal tendency.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's when you think about whatever you think about, well, you will manifest in if only in your own mind, which is enough because then that triggers the emotion, doesn't it? There's a guy, you're probably familiar with W. Clement Stone. He was way back in the 40s and 50s. He was an inverse paranoid. He believed the universe was conspiring to do him good. And since we can pick anything we want to think about, why not be thinking about things that bring out the best in us and others? And so his philosophy was, as soon as we woke up in the morning, he said, something wonderful is going to happen today. Now, what is he looking for all day long? And then when something went wrong, instead of going, well, yeah, I heard this Christine's show and, you know, I tried it and it didn't last very long. When something went wrong, he would simply say, what am I to learn from this? And so it never caught him emotionally because he already decided how he wanted to be emotionally. That wasn't up for grabs. Something wonderful is going to happen and I'm looking for it. And, you know, we all have that inside of us. We just have to go back when we were 4, 5, 6 years old and had all of this just excitement and yearning. Somebody would buy us $100 fire engine and come back later and we're playing in the box because a box can be anything. And we're so full of imagination and joy as long as, you know, we weren't brought up in a sour environment. But for the most part, we were pretty excited human beings. And then we started paying attention. We started listening. We started taking tests. We started getting feedback on, you call yourself a singer. And unfortunately, we loop that. We start playing it over and over in our head. And as you mentioned about the groove, you know, we connect those dendrites and pretty soon, you know, a little protein connects to them and they're a belief now. And now we don't even have to think about it. The next time the situation handles, we know I don't want to speak in front of a group or, you know, I've never liked that. Or no, I tried that once and I didn't care for it. We start to restrict ourselves in a life of plenty. And that's not fair. So everybody's got to step back, realize a magnificent human being you are in spite of what may have happened to you. And then challenge yourself to say, you know what, as long as my vision is to bring out the best in others, the rest will take care of itself.
Yes. And on that note, that is it for today. So where can people find you, Larry, if they want to know more?
The website is, without any pauses, it's Larry Olsen, Olsen, live.com. Find the book on Amazon or wherever. There's a Kindle edition and an Audible and all of the above.
And the book name again?
Get a Vision and Live It.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. This has been a wonderful conversation.
Oh, well, thank you. And thank you for being such a great listener. I'm telling you, that's the key to all of us is just pay more attention to what people are saying than how you want to respond.
This has been Humanity Meets Business, Business Therapy with Christine Szabo, licensed marriage and family therapist, advanced certified mediator, and master practitioner of NLP and hypnosis. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful day. Thank you.